Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Everybody, and welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Thanking God for another day of being here. I've got a really special day today. Those of you who have been hearing me and watching my posts all week and hearing me brag about this guest tonight will know what we're up to. So we have to get our preliminaries out the way, and we're going to get right into her now. The first and foremost thing that I want to do, as I said, is thank God for being here. That's definitely important. I have a few special people to speak about today because tonight's show is dedicated to all the local heroes that are out there doing their thing in communities. And I want to first start off shouting out some local heroes in my neighborhood, the Ozone Park Residents Block Association overall, but then there's a couple of individuals in that, Tiffany, Nancy, and Sam. I want to thank all of you for helping my family and other families around the world have a good holiday in their time of need. I appreciate this. I have a wonderful person, my sister Sunny Cirillo. I would like her to understand that she does so much every day tirelessly, no matter how she's feeling. She's out there spreading her joy and her beautiful soul to everybody that's in need, no matter what she's struggling with. Jody Ferguson, the realest, beautiful sister from another mother that I know. Kim Milton, another powerful woman that's out in Chicago doing her thing, making sure everybody out there is enriched, is empowered, is in support, and she's amazing. Christina Vera, doing her thing, as I say all the time, as an Uber driver. She's above and beyond every single minute of the day. I also want to take the time out to thank my children because those of you who have been following us, our car accident is still an issue in our lives. And I have been watching my young kids sort of being very enduring, even though right now, you know, not being able to be social at their fullest and having all these restrictions in place. And they're taking it in stride. They managed to give the best Thanksgiving to their mom and to the people that came to visit. So I have to give them a little bit of a special mention. And I also want to thank tonight's guest, Miss Roberta Bell, for her humanity and angelicism out where she is, which you'll be able to hear a little bit about her all through this next podcast. Now, with that being said, I want to start off by saying we have a problem in America where, especially in the Black community, the rate of our people that's in jails are pretty high. Everybody knows the situation with racism and the disparaging amounts that are out there of Blacks being incarcerated. However, it's a little special tonight because we're speaking this time about female prisoners. And the reason why I want to speak about that is because tonight's guest was fired for trying to give women a fresh start, pretty much, where there was one inmate, if you guys have been following the story, she was a local celebrity pretty much on her own news channel. She's from Vicksburg, Mississippi. Her name is Roberta Bell. She was a correction officer in a Louisiana correctional facility. And there was an inmate there that was serving a sentence. She was pregnant. She had about 2 months left to go on her sentence. She gave birth before her 2 months expired. This woman said she was going to take the baby into her own home while the mom served out her last 60 days so that the baby wouldn't be in a foster care system, because one of the things that we know is that recidivism in prisoners is pretty high, meaning they are definitely going to go back into the system after being released for whatever reason. We know what that is. Society doesn't give them a fair shot when they come out, even though most of the times that they come out, they're coming out to supposedly a second chance or fresh start program. But since all the people that they're going to report to already know where they're coming from, they're not really given that fresh start or that objective chance to start over. So pretty much that leaves some of these prisoners feeling out of place when they leave the jail system. Now, for that, tonight, I got into some disturbing articles where I was reading that recidivism in women, especially now, it's like 38% of those that are released return. And what one of the things, all of this is going to be connected to why this lady's here tonight, all of the things that are connected to why women even get into the jail prison systems is normally something drug related or drug induced. Usually a woman is in jail because something didn't go right where she could support her family, or somebody she loved made it seem as if, you know, they need her to take a fall or convince them to do something that, you know, is for them. Not saying that there aren't things out there that women are doing. They're responsible for their own choices, and I want men not to be jumping up and down going, yeah, right, that's just something you women. So the next thing that I would like to let you know is that what they also said in trade is that what becomes a successful, helpful factor in reducing recidivism in women prisoners is gender-appropriate or gender-related programs that actually are sensitive to what realistically women go through after prison, mostly things dealing with making sure that, like, they get help with getting to reuniting with their families. Putting out things out there that'll help them feel, you know, adequate as people. And so tonight's guest, after being fired by the people that she worked for in this facility, had told them that she didn't care whether or not she got fired. It was in her heart to do the right thing for this baby and for this woman. They asked her a second time, well, are you still going to do it? Because it's a clear conflict of interest. She pretty much said, if the hospital calls me and tells me that they need me to pick up the baby, I'm going to pick up the baby. They said, well, we have no choice but to terminate you, which they did. Now, she's, of course, losing your job isn't easy, but she turned it around and continued what she felt was right in her heart. And she is now in the process of starting a transitional house for women for a fresh start program, so that when women come out, they can have life beyond their mistake, pretty much. I'm not going to try to make any quotes about the details of this, because the project that she described to me, excuse me, guys, the project she described to me is so amazing, and I don't want to get anything wrong, so we got to go to our little break. When I get back, I'm going to have Miss Roberta Bell on the panel. And tonight, the title is Fired for Helping a Baby in Need, Roberta Bell's Story. However, it's more than that. This woman her project in itself is one of the main crucial factors in helping women, you know, have a reduced risk of going back into jail. And I would like for her to be able to tell a story, because if any of you are out there that has somebody that can benefit from this program, she needs some support. She needs some funding. She's doing whatever she can. You know, I want all of you to hear her story and get the beautiful benefit of this woman's humanity like I got. She already has me mesmerized from the couple of days that I had met her, and into the week of pre-interviewing, and she's just amazing. She is everything she sounds like. She is everything you saw on that news story. That is it. So tonight, to her and to all of you people out there, I'm going out with R. Kelly's The Greatest, because that's us saying that to you. Not his lyrics, but us saying that to all of you guys out there, because we need heroes like you with the capes that people don't mention and don't put in Hollywood. So with that being said, I'll be back with Miss Roberta Bell in just a bit. We're going to go out with them, a word from our sponsor, and we will be back. Don't go away, guys. Stay with Katie.
I am a mountain. I am a tall tree. Oh, I am a swift wind sweeping the country. I am a river down in the valley. Oh, I am a vision and I can see clearly. Does anybody ask you who I am? Just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, I'm that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest. Giant, I am an eagle. Oh, I am a lion down in the jungle. I am a marching band. I am the people. Oh, I am a heaven hand. I am a hero. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, in the sky, from that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's up against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest.
In the ring of life, I'll rain love,
I will rain.
Yeah.
Listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and tonight we are going to be bringing in an amazing woman. As I said in the opening, this is Miss Roberta Bell. If you guys have been following my promos this week, as well as me posting her story, she was on CBS News in Vicksburg, Mississippi, as a woman that served her time. She helps people, period. If you hear her, her spirit emanates for itself. You don't have to say a word. She's on our line now. I'm going to bring her in. Without further ado, here is Miss Roberta Bell. Give me just a second. Hi, Roberta, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are you?
Welcome, dear. How are you? And thank you for gracing and honoring my panel tonight. I have been speaking about you all week. I've been speaking about you in the last 10 minutes or so, and I want to once again reiterate with everybody who you are, and then I want you to tell everyone what you're doing. So let me begin. Listeners, once again, if you've been watching, this woman dedicated her life to a women's correctional facility out of Louisiana, and if you just know her, she's raising 5 of her 8 grandchildren. She helps people, and she took it upon herself to love someone beyond herself enough to help a pregnant inmate who was 2 months away from finishing her sentence but gave birth early to take the baby so that the baby wouldn't be lost in the foster system, and it would be easier for this mom to reunite with her child. So for that, she was punished pretty much by her bosses for a conflict of interest, which she refused to back down from. And now she's doing a project for the community, in spite of what she went through, to continue what she feels right. So let's go, Roberta. I'm giving you the floor. Tell my listeners who you are. Talk about what happened to you, and then we're going to get into why you're here tonight.
Okay, well, good evening, everyone. And I am more than happy to say that I am glad and honored to be here. It's a pleasure to be able to speak and give my story and give out my information on my sober living home for the community in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And I just want to say thank you for tuning in and listening.
You're very welcome, and thank you for being here once again. So tell me, sweetheart, we've been reading about it, and I know that we saw enough, you know, with the news, but what I would like is for you to tell in your own words what took place. How long ago did this happen? What took place, and what prompted you to do what it was that you wanted to do that day that led to this?
Okay. It started back in the summer of last year. I was at work doing my normally duties, and the girls come out to medical for to take their medication. And I had finished the dining hall where I was over the dining hall for feeding the ladies as they come in for lunch and breakfast and supper. And we got through early, and I happened to be standing on the walk where they do the medication at because they were short. And so I was just standing there monitoring the walk, making sure that the ladies go where they're supposed to go and go back to their designation housing unit. And I was just standing there, and the ladies, they always come up to medical and they speak and hi, Miss Bell, how you doing? And they go on up and they take their medicine. Well, evidently they must have been talking in the dorm before they came out to get their medication. And it's a young lady, her name was Belle, her last name, me and her had the same last name. And I was just standing there watching them, making sure that they go up and take their medicine and get back in line so they could go back to their unit. Well, Jessica come and she went to take her medicine. And Katie was standing in the line. Katie had already took hers. And Jessica, she's a typical little loud young lady, beautiful, beautiful person, though. And she came, she went up to take her medicine, and she come back to get in line. And Katie was in front of her in line. And she looked over there at me and she said, she was talking to Katie. She said, I know. She said, Miss Bella help you. And then she looked at me. She said, Miss Bella, she said, Katie needs somebody to get her baby so her CPS won't get her baby. Would you help her so her baby wouldn't go to CPS? And so, I looked at Katie, and Katie never said anything, and she just, you know, she's a real quiet girl. And so I said, well, Katie going to have to, you know, tell me herself. And so after that, you know, they got them taking their medicine, and they went on into the dorm to back to their unit. And a couple of days later, another inmate came up to me, and she was telling me that Katie was asking questions about me, and she said she wants you to get her baby. I said, well, look, Katie gonna have to, you know, talk to me about that herself. And so, you know, I guess she was a little nervous, but she waited a couple more other little days before she really came up, and she approached me, and she came up and she said, Miss Bell, she said, I really don't have anybody to get my baby. And so I went to questioning her, you know, and I was asking her, you know, about her parents, and I asked her about the dad's parents, And she said that they didn't know that she was pregnant, you know, because when she came inside the prison, that's when she found out. That's when they told her that she was pregnant. And so I told her, I said, look, I said, I'm going to have to get with the major and talk to him and see what, which way we can go with this, see what we can do. And so I went on and got ready to go home. And so the next day, I went in and I talked to the major because I didn't want it to get out. You know, a lot of the inmates have a tendency to talk and add a little stuff and leave out a little stuff. So I didn't want them to get the information and get the wrong information before I could talk to him. So I went on and I talked to him about the situation. And he told me, he said, Ms. Bell, he says, this is a sad situation. I said, I know, Major. I said, but this child wants her baby. I say, and I just don't have the heart to see that baby go in the system. It's no telling where that baby not, where he's going to end up at. And so I told him, I said that, I say, can she want me to get the baby? I say, but I don't want to do it without your permission. I want to talk to you and let you know what's going on. And so he said, well, Ms. Bell, he said, I don't know. He said, I think it may be a conflict of interest. He said, but let me get with Trey, which is he's the owner of the prison. He said, let me get with Trey, and I'll get back with you. And so I told him, I said, okay. And time just went by. You know, I don't know if he forgot. I don't know if he went and talked to Trey or not. But I did ask the maintenance guy who works close with Trey. I asked him if he could give me his number, and he said he couldn't give me the boss man's number. And so I asked him, I said, well, can you give him my number and ask him to call me? I have a situation. I want to talk to him about it. And so he took my number, but Trey never called me. And so time went on by, and it was getting close for her to fill her information out to give to the hospital. And she approached me and she told me, she said, Ms. Bell, she said, I have to turn this information in to the hospital, and I'm going to need your address and telephone number so that they can call you to come pick the baby up. And I did. I gave it to her. And still waiting on the major to get back with me. And he never did. He never did get back with me until like 2 days before it was time for her to go in to have the baby. And when he called me in, he asked me, well, when I came in that morning for work, and I punched in. And the lady in the control room, she told me, she said, Major said, don't go out on the compound. You stay here because he want to talk to you about something. I said, okay. So I sat there and I waited for him to come in. And he finally came in and went back there to his office. And the two captains came in behind him and went back there, and they later called me back there. Well, before all of this had happened, it was Mother's Day, and I had taken off that weekend. Well, really, I'm not scheduled to work anyway on the weekend, but I normally go in on the weekend because they're so short. So this particular weekend was Mother's Day weekend, so I decided, you know, that since my mom had passed, I just didn't want to be at work. So I took off. I didn't even go in. I didn't go to work. And I was here at home sitting up in my bed. I was reading my word, and I seen a number come up on my phone, and it was a New Orleans number. And I said, now, who could be calling me from New Orleans? So I answered it, and it was a young lady. And right today, I can't tell you her name, but she said, Miss Bell, she said, this is so-and-so. My mom is an inmate at the prison, and she called me, and she told me that she wanted me to call you and tell you that they shook Katie's room down and found your information. And Katie was all upset about it because she didn't want me to get in trouble. And so I told her, I said, well, sweetheart, I say, tell Katie not to worry because I done talked to Major Murray about the situation, and I'm going to handle it. Tell her to just focus on having that baby. And so we hung up from each other. And that's when the next day I went in, and that's when he told me don't go to the compound, to stay in the front so he could talk to me. Well, he called me on back to the back, and he had me to sit down, and he said, Miss Bell, he said, I have some private information where you gave an inmate your personal information. And I say, yeah. I say, yes, I did. I say, I gave her that information to give to the hospital. And so he had Captain Gamble to read the rule on passing information to the inmate. And I looked at him and I told him, I said, Major, I said, I'm not going to deny I gave her my information, but that information was for her to give to the hospital so I could pick that baby up. And so he said, well, you know, you're not supposed to give out your information. I said, yeah. I said, I told him, I said, yeah. I said, I'm willing to accept the consequences that I have to take for doing that. I said, but, you know, I don't break no policy and procedures. And, that's the reason for me coming to you. I said, you never got back with me. And so it was time for her to give the information, and you never did get back with me. So I went on and I gave it to her. And so they went down there, and they shook her room down, and they found, tore her room up. I mean, just tore her room up. And found my information, and I told him, I said, yeah. I said, I gave her that information to give to the hospital. I said, she had to have that to give to the hospital in order for me to get the baby. And he said, well, let me ask you this. Are you still going to go through with it? And I told him, I said, Major Murray, if the hospital call me to come get that baby, I'm going to get that baby. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to have to terminate you. I said, I kind of paused a little bit, and I said, well, you have a job to do. I'm not mad at you. do your job. And he had me to sign a termination paper. I signed it, and I left.
You know, so many little things. First of all, there's a little bit of an echo coming from your side. And are you listening to the stream as well as talking to me on the phone? Like, is there a separate device that you're listening to?
No.
Okay. So maybe it's just it's just another thing. Well, if anyone is listening, they just have to turn down like the computer or the laptop or whatever it is while you're talking on the phone, because it'll reverberate. Because this is internet radio. But I'll say this. I'm going to say this because this is so big. First of all, again, I can't say enough on behalf of humans everywhere. What a grandiose thing to do. And I know, you know what makes it so much bigger. And like I said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this again. I met this woman about a week and a half ago, and already I feel like I've known her like forever. That's the type of beautiful spirituality that she exudes to people that she's with. I wind up getting into something I was a little sad about, and this woman sat there and gave me encouragement. So there's a couple of things, Mama Belle, that's what I call her.
Uh-huh.
First thing is, the news didn't even give that part. There's portions of what you just said that wasn't included in the cast. You know, the fact that she came to you, and you know, at first it was like they didn't get to tell that part. But this is the issue I have, and I do segments on this particular thing often. I get that the prison system is made as a punishment place, you know, to punish, of course, a crime. But from what I'm understanding, it's supposed to also be serving, unless it's one of those like real demonic crimes, that like life, death row type crimes.
Right.
If it's a situation, I'm sorry, sweetheart. If it's a situation where, like in Katie's case, you know, if somebody lost their way and got involved in the wrong thing, she happened to be pregnant. And my thing is, I always understood the systems are supposed to also, after your incarceration and your punishment, there was supposed to be a plan to return back to society, rehabbed pretty much.
Exactly.
And my thing is...
Exactly.
Right. And for a women's prison in particular, you would think that they would be more invested. A woman is pregnant and a baby is involved. And wouldn't you want to see some sort of something be put in place so that we could lessen the risk of children going into the foster care system, growing up and being angry and perhaps becoming involved as a product of a bad society? This is a situation.
Right.
Now, here you are willing to step in and personally take your own, you know, put your own investment in it. And this man wanted to treat it like she's just another number, when the whole point of someone like you would have been like sort of be a factor in breaking the chain or breaking the cycle.
Right. And my thing is, sweetheart, is that it's a transformation center for women to transform them into getting prepared for society. And so to me, I felt as if the help was not there when I went to them to help, to get help, or to help resolve a solution to where she could still keep her baby. That was the purpose of me really going to the major and seeing if we could come up with something where she could keep her baby, because she only had 2 months, only 2 months. I know that if she didn't want that baby, she wouldn't have never came to me. So that's why I reached out to try to help, because it's not too many young girls that'll come up and approach you and or trust you with their child, you know. So I really felt that the help just wasn't there. And I mean, if you're going to help, you got to help. You just can't help in one area and not help in another area. And don't get me wrong, you know, everybody makes mistakes. And I don't think mine was a mistake because I had prayed about the situation. And my purpose for being there at the prison was to witness to the women and to talk to them and to let them know, you know, that they're special and that they have potential and they don't have to be back and forth in jail. They're created for so much more better than that. And so that was my purpose really for being there, is to encourage them and to let them know that they are somebody. And it is somebody that care about their life, you know? And it's sad, you know, that we have to go through this. But still again, like I said, I had prayed about the situation. And the Lord told me, he said, when you accepted this job, you said that you wanted to be a witness for me. And God knows in heaven, that's what I did on my job. I never violated or did nothing out the way on that job. I did what I was supposed to have done. And I made those girls feel like they was wanted. And I made them feel like that they can do better. And I knew Katie really wanted to do better. I don't know, you know, what happened after she got home, but she was really, really concerned on keeping that baby.
And this goes back to why everything you did it should have been celebrated and not persecuted, pretty much, or punished. One of the things that I just kind of caught on to is that you just said this is a transitional center. It wasn't like a big Rikers Island type jail thing, which means with the name in itself, it should have been where programs that, matter of fact, are now being proven to have had a successful rate in reducing female prisoner recidivism. Okay, you are an intricate part of that. You before, and the second half of this show is going to be all about what you've done after that or what you're doing now. But in all importance right now, and I mean I'm dead. You're among a cyber family of listeners that know what I'm about. Pretty much the little bit of time we had, you got a little bit of understanding. I'm very passionate about things like this being brought to the surface and actually addressed. I don't want to hear people doing all this click activism where they say we need to do this and we need to do that when they're on screen or on the Facebook or something like that, when the problem is right here in the community. The thing is, right, is that this man owns something where he's got the name Transitional Women's Facility or Women's Center in the name, which means that when he went to whatever business funding he decided to go to, he presented his business as something that was supposed to bring in a woman that made a mistake or committed a crime and give her the opportunity to go through her consequence and come out transitioned or come out with options. Now, you did that in there, which obviously you showed it. Listen, I've only met, like I said, my first call with you, I already can understand where these girls went. So there's nothing about you that is a soundbite, Mama Belle. There's nothing about you that is a megahorn or, you know, a megaphone where you have to get up there and go, hey, look at me. Let me see, you know, look at what I'm doing when you don't need it.
Right.
Everything about you is what it is. So for this person in a jail to want to come to you, for the girls to tell Katie, maybe you should talk to Mama Belle, to Miss Belle, for everyone to hear that you're the person to go to. Clearly the transitional aspect of that name was something you took to heart for them. You said something to me in the pre-interview. Ladies and gentlemen, she said this to Miss Belle in our pre-interview said, I want to make something happen where these women don't have to be defined by their mistake. Like you just said, they are somebody. That their mistake isn't all that has to be for them. I wanted to say that to you, Mama Belle, because I always try to go to some research articles and everything whenever, even though this is a viewpoint show, and I got to make sure for my new listeners, the things you hear on here, this show is not designed to be any type of professional advice. It's not a expertise show. This is just a bunch of people getting together that has experienced topics where, you know, either there's the bad side of government not paying attention, where the, you know, things that are unjust to certain types of people. Whatever we're going through, all of us get to talk from a real person standpoint to get real solutions, not the stuff that all these administrative political figureheads who never come to the actual problem a day in their life are making administrative decisions about. So that's what this show is for us to get to the bottom and be able to say anything we want, any way we feel like it, about things that need to be said. So I said that to say that what you're doing, Mama Belle, needed to get done. You did something in your beautiful way that the people who say one thing and mean another didn't do. These women in there, I was looking at these articles. That's what I was bringing up before, different articles. One as to why most women, based on the surveys that these researchers did, why most women are actually in prison. Usually it was they took the fall for a boyfriend. They were on drugs and led to something else. And whatever led them to drugs, whatever led them to drugs, led them to make decisions through drugs because they were depressed or something didn't work out. They can't get back with their children. They can't get back with their children, and that's why they return after they come out. The recidivism rate, and I wanted to make sure that I bring that part up. When I checked out the current stats, the recidivism rate for these women is because when they get out, okay, they don't have the hope that they are promised. So even with this, 40% of females that were released get rearrested and with a new conviction compared to 40% of the total sample, right, of a new sentence. Now, compared to 37%, 25% of that 37% actually gets a new sentence. Now, what they further said was, these women go back into prison because when they got out, there wasn't a society that was sensitive to what women or women from prison are going through. The programs that they offered as transitional were way too general, and there wasn't anybody in there trying to really make any changes. These women had harder times reuniting with their children or getting custody of their children, even though they were told that they were going to be sent out to places that accepted them with the status of their criminal history without any questions. They were given the worst of it or more hurdles to jump through, and they didn't know how to reintegrate. You have come up with something where you said, I don't care if I lose this job, even though I need it. It's in my heart. It's the right thing to do. And I'm not going to let this baby go into the foster care system. We all know where that goes. If you got 10 kids going into foster system, you might get lucky that one of them actually found a good family that really wanted
home
to adopt.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you did
something.
And,
excuse
go
me.
Go ahead, Mama.
You know, I don't have anything against CPS. I think they do an amazing job to what they the policy and the procedures does. But I know that their hands are really full and they're overwhelmed. And if you can just stop one child from going, that's less paperwork, less worry. That's one less person that they got to try to find a good home for, you know?
Absolutely. And actually, I'm on the fence about CPS from personal experience of things around my friends and everything. But I will say this. I'm not for them, but I'm not against them being in place, because there are kids out there that some of those mothers that are in jail beat the heck out of their kids. So, you know, listen, they're in place for a reason. But I think that they overuse their system in the wrong manner. For example, when CPS comes in, like you said, you were ready, willing, and able to take Kaysen. I believe that's Katie's son's name, right?
Yeah.
To take
him,
right? And when whatever happened with Katie after, Kaysen was still had an available home to go to that he had been through before.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And whatever they did wrong, they failed him there. My problem with CPS is this. If somebody calls you into a home, and you all know that children can say things when they don't get their way, that they know how to use the system. I think that I believe that by now, CPS should be well-versed in understanding how to see through when teens are just trying to get back at their parents for whatever reason. I believe that they should do their 30 days. But I also believe that they shouldn't be spending too much time looking into something they know is unfounded already, because a kid that really has a founded case doesn't have their resource. So that's the issue. I also have a problem with CPS being overwhelmed, like you said. And what I think that I wanted to add to what you were saying about it's less paperwork, it's less thing, it's one less time that they'll get it wrong.
Right.
And I do have sympathy for those real caring workers in that system that are overwhelmed and underpaid and understaffed. But at the same token, this is what you signed up for. And that's something you got to be on top of. And you don't have the luxury of getting tired or getting upset. Because guess what? There were plenty of people like you, Mama Belle, that were available to a lot of those children that have gone unchecked in the system. I see a lot of people matter of fact, I had a child that coming off of being trafficked after being kidnapped by her school, was brought into a foster system. It's supposed to be a therapeutic foster system that was specializing in helping girls that were trafficked in particular, because there's a unique trauma to that. And what happened was, that foster family, the father wound up being sexually inappropriate with the female charges that were in there.
Wow.
So that you got it wrong. My deal is that they've got to start utilizing guardian angels like you. You are one person that I hear talking that it's genuine. If they happen to give you a financial bonus, like to help you along or whatever, you know that it came from some place where people could see what you're doing and it's for the better. They know that if they give it to you, those kids will get it. That is something.
Yes.
These women needed you in there. They needed you in there. They needed to have a light in that dark place. And I'm sorry, but I think that your boss is horrible. I think he did a wrong thing. I think that he's more of a numbers person than a person. I think transitional needs to come out of the name of his facility unless he gets it right and comes to his senses. But what happened to you was an injustice. But what happened to your life was God opening that window that needed to go, because other people will benefit. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I have to go to a sponsor commercial. Got to pay that bill. And what I'm going to say is that Ms. Roberta Bell will be here for the duration. She's going to come back in part two after the break to speak about what she's doing now. And that is something that definitely I want all of you to really tune into, because she's an angel on this earth right at this moment that we definitely need. The society is horrid. And she's a beautiful, beautiful addition and light in this. So with that being said, sweetheart, give me about 3 minutes. We'll be back. Don't go away. And we will be back with this angel, Miss Roberta Bell. Don't go away.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
And we're back, everybody, with this amazing woman, Miss Roberta Bell. She is the, for those of you just joining us, she is the woman who has been on the news for a wonderful grandiose act of humanity and kindness, but it actually was pretty much persecuted for it, for doing something that society wouldn't have done. And that was pretty much giving a darn about her inmates, about a baby that would have gone into a foster system because his mom gave birth 2 months before her sentence was over and she needed a place for the baby to go. And this woman took it upon herself. Her name is Roberta Bell. She was in Vicksburg, Mississippi as a correctional officer. You should be able to see her name all over the place on YouTube, Google. She was on CBS News. And Roberta, I don't know if you saw that Gail King, I believe her name is, right after they, and this was on our end of the coast here, right after the anchor that interviewed you, you know, sent the story, you know, like sent the signal back to the main studio, Gail uh-huh. said something really beautiful about you. She was like, wow, what a real. So you saw that. Really have touched people across the country with your beauty. You're beautiful all over the place, but
yeah,
you really have. This is just such a, and it's sad that we have to say this, but what seems good and beautiful is abnormal in this world, and it's like people are more shocked and taken aback that somebody would do something that should be a natural thing to do, and when it's messed up, everybody like fully expects that to be the thing. So now I want to hear, and I want my cyber family here to hear, after this job loss, what did you decide to do? Because that's the big thing here.
Okay, after I lost my job, I was baking a cake for a friend. He always get me to bake in my homemade cake. So I had baked him a caramel homemade cake, and he stays in Jackson. His name is Larry. I was talking to him about it, and he the one that really prompted me to go to WLBT. I kind of hesitated a little bit on it, and I prayed on it, and the Lord say, just go on Facebook and express what happened. And I did. And first time I've ever been on Facebook Live, you know, because I don't do Facebook and all of that. I'm just a plain person. But he did encourage me because he felt that it was wrong. And so I did. And after that, oh, Lord, I thank God. The people just come out from everywhere. They were so generous. They were so loving, and they showed so much compassion for me and that baby. And I thank God for it, because I'm a single parent and I have to take care of myself. And it's always been a time to where I always put myself last, and just to see somebody else happy or to see somebody else that need, and I can meet that need. And I'm telling you, it was so overwhelmed for them to fulfill my need and to make me feel so loved in the community, from state to state, from city to city. People gave and people sent gifts for baby Kaysen. I had a living room full of stuff, you know, and it was just overwhelming. And I thank God for it. I thank all of the everybody that gave. It was just so overwhelming and touching to me. And I can't even imagine. I don't even know how a lot of people got my number to call and to bring stuff to the house. Baby Kaysen had so much stuff. It was just so unbelievable how God touched these people's hearts. And you don't really realize that you got kind people in this world. But when I tell you, we got some good people in this world. We got some good people in this world.
You have some good people in this world. And good knows good, because I tell you, Mama Belle, in the 5 minutes that I met you, like, everything about you came out. As a matter of fact, there was a person that I had spoken to right after I got off with you, and I don't even know. I felt like there was just something about you that was just, there's no words for the type of vibe that you give when people speak with you. So, and I could hear the tears in your eyes now, thinking back to the stuff that you got for baby Kaysen. I know the feeling. That happened to me when I gave birth to my twins, and at the time their dad had left. So it was like, I know the feeling. I had nothing. And then all of a sudden, you know, people were lining up around my house like I was the Michael Jackson concert, you know, pre-ticket sale or something. And suddenly I had more than I could ask for. But I know that feeling. But see, that's the type of greatness that you give out. I don't know how to explain this, ladies and gentlemen, but if you sit with this woman, and she just has this way about her. So, like, everything you saw in this news article, everything you saw, this is her. Like, this is just, she's like whatever it is. So everyone that you are around, Ms. Roberta, can feel it. And I am a very deep believer too, so I could tell you that it says in the word that you don't have to say a word. Your light will shine for you.
You don't.
And there you go.
You don't have to say anything. You know, sometimes God just use you for your work. And when I tell you that I am a firm believer of God, and the work that God wants us to do. And it's not about me getting no kind of publicity. It's the glory needs to go to God. I give it all to him because it was all him. It's him working in me. I'm just a vessel. And I thank God that he used me as a vessel. But God has just been so amazing in my life. And I want the girls from the prison that's coming out of prison to feel the same love and compassion that I feel for God. And it's just like a spark when you spark something and you stick it to a piece of paper and it just lights up. And I want them to see that. I want them to feel that. And that's the thing that I know that God will work in their lives if they want to be worked on. He's no respecter of person. What he do for one, he'll do for you. You just have to surrender, and you have to give your life to Christ, and you got to love, and you got to read up on God's word. God's word says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and that is so true that he is good. If you just touch the hem, just touch the hem of his garment and hold on to it, you'll see a whole new, better person. And that's what I want to spread abroad from city to city, from state to state. I want to work with other sober living homes. I want us to all come together so we can get these women and get them back into society and let them enjoy the good life instead of the bad life that they live. Because this life can be good, but you got to want it. You got to want it. And it's going to take work. It's not going to be peaches and cream. When I was in the prison and I was talking to Katie, and I said, Katie, when you get ready to go home, sweetheart, it's going to be hard out there. It's not going to be easy, but you got to tough it out. If you don't have God in your life, you're not going to make it. And that's my purpose for trying to get these women to come in and get them affiliated with God's word, God's love, and God's peace, God's joy. It's all in there. But you got to want it. You got to want it in order to get it. It's not going to fall into your lap.
And I want you to please talk about where God has led you now, because I want them to, the beautiful project in motion that you have, I want you to be the one to tell the details. I don't want to get a thing wrong. I don't want to misquote. So I would like for you to tell about this, because I believe too, 100,000%, that, you know, this is definitely God driven. And, you know, like I said, you're one of the few angels on earth that I have met. So I would like that to be it, because if there's anybody that has any questions or some words for you, I want your project to be out there first so that they can press one. All of you got to press one if you want to speak to her and, you know, be able to say what it is. So please tell about your project.
Okay. I'm remodeling a house for women coming out of prison. Because so many of them, they don't have anywhere to go when they come out. And we're going to get, we're preparing a sober living home to where we would take in the women and we would train them. We will take them on job sites
get them placed on job placement. And glory to God, I had a young lady to call me last week to tell me that they would help do some hiring for some of the women that that'll be coming into the program. So things are coming together. God is bringing things together. God is bringing people together. But it's a sober living home, and it will we will have women coming out of prison. We will provide them with counseling. We will provide them with on how to conduct interviews to go get a job. We will make sure that they have transportation, because we would transport them while they're in the program. We would transport them to work and from work back to the facility. And we're also going to do a lot of community service. We're going to do Bible study. We're going to do a group session. I'm going to have mentors to come in and talk with them to encourage them to keep going. And it's just a beautiful thing that we're getting started. I'm at the almost finished with the housing unit, and I'm hoping first of the year, February, I'll be getting with the mayor. I got support from the mayor in Vicksburg. I got support from Benny Thompson, Congressman Thompson here in Mississippi. I got to get with a few more other, chief of police, because I'm working, it kind of lingers a little of my, time to get out and do what I need to do, because I still have to work. But the house is in the county. It's in the county where I want it to be, because I don't want any distractions for the girls. I want them to be able to concentrate on getting themselves together, concentrate on getting the word of God, concentrate on looking for them a job and being committed to their job.
That's wonderful. So let me ask you some things for the listeners, so that if there's anybody in your area, do you need volunteers for anything? Is there like some cleaning, some construction people?
Yes.
Are there?
Yes, we're gonna need any assistance that would be helpful. We are open arms for them. I have one contractor right now working on the house, but he's about almost finished with it. So,
awesome.
So it's coming together, and I'm already getting calls from ladies that wants to come and get into the program. I got a lot of more paperwork that I got to get
finalized,
straightened out. According to the law, the paperwork got to be on point. So I'm still working on the paperwork and getting the paperwork and stuff corrected like it needs to be.
Yeah, amazing. And I want to ask you a couple more things, because you actually got, I think, two people that want to ask you something. So just hang on. Hang on, callers. We'll be right there with you. And also, ladies and gentlemen, before this segment ends, there's an announcement I have to make. So I want to just finish up with Miss Bell, because she's amazing. Like I said, I'm speechless. There's just so many things about you. There's so many facets in this that's just above and beyond. And it's wonderful, because women, especially, we need to be reaffirmed pretty much. There are so many things that go wrong, and mothers are burning out a whole lot more lately, and this jail could be a place that they wind up if they don't have some help or go back to.
Right.
So,
right.
I would like you to do something for me, because I'm also formulating a page for the show where all of these announcements, referrals, and links to these things are going to be on one page, and I'll be doing that soon. But we're doing something for the temporary instantaneous part, so that people can go now while we reformat our new webpage and stuff. So I need you, when we get off tonight or tomorrow, when you get a minute, to write down everything that you can use volunteers for, if there's any funding places or something that could be done. Maybe I could find some people that have businesses that'll be charitable to help, you know, do something as a, you know, so I would like to know that. And now, so I also want you to know that this forum, this platform, this show right here, anything that you need from me, you let me know in advance. We'll make a segment. We'll announce it. Anything you need, I'll share. You know, it's the community and networking is a big thing for me. You know, I don't have a lot, but whatever I can do, I'm going to do to the fullest.
Yes, ma'am.
Madam, you have somebody coming in that wants to either talk to you or ask you questions. So if you can just give me a second, let me bring them in. And welcome to the On the Edge show, caller. You're on with Katie.
Is it me?
Hello?
Hi, Mom. How are you?
Oh, that's my child. Hi, Melanie. How are you, baby girl? Okay, have something to say for her, for Miss Roberta here?
I did. Hi, Miss Bell. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to come in, and I kind of joined a while ago, so I really just wanted to, I don't have a question, but I wanted to fangirl a little bit. I am one of Katie's oldest daughters, and she was mentioning a little bit about me. I'm the daughter who ended up going into the foster care system, and I have my own experiences with that, and I really just wanted to express my gratitude and show my support for you. And thank you for being one of the foster parents who care. I'll be honest. Separate from my mom, I'm not really a God believer. I'm not a Jesus follower. And I grew up in the church, as you probably heard my mother say many times. But I want to be transparent, because there's a lot of foster youth throughout the United States who kind of stray away from the church. And unfortunately, the truth is that, you know, a lot of churches have caused a lot of harm to foster youth.
Yes.
Before I even open about my question, I really just want to say thank you for being one of the foster parents who care. There are a lot of foster parents in the States who really just do this either for the extra income, or they don't really care about the child that they're taking into their home. So I guess my overall question is, let me say this. Before I open for the question, I want to say I'm very happy to support you in any way. I'm in New York, but if there's any way that we can support your efforts in Mississippi, I would love to do that. How do you, with this new home that you're opening, which is amazing, by the way, how would you address working with a young woman who has gone through the incarceration system, who has, you know, been harmed by a lot of these oppressive systems, who may not share the same religious sentiment? How do you help them see your vision without feeling pressured or forced into believing the same things?
I would, it's one thing about, you have young ladies that don't believe the same thing. And I respect that. I respect that to the fullest. It's not my duty to tell you who to believe in and what to believe in.
Absolutely.
All I know is that God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go and you show God's love, and you show God's patience, and you show all of the fruit of the Spirit, those fruits that you are showing is going to come into that that person is going to want just what they see in me. And it's only God. So it's not up to me to tell you who to believe in or what to believe in. I just let my actions show.
I love that.
You understand where I'm coming from? You understand where I'm coming from?
I absolutely do. You know, there's so many of us who have gone through.
Yes. I have several people that, you know, if they tell me, I had one girl in the prison that said she don't believe in prayer, and we would pray in the dining hall before we start working, and I respect that. That's, you know, I have to respect that, but she never disrespected me.
Right.
It's not up to me.
It's not.
It's God that's going to draw you. I can't draw nobody to it. It's God the one that's going to do the drawing. All I have to do is do what he requires of me to do, and that's to love you in spite of anything.
I want to add to that, sweetheart, before you move on to the next thing. The churches that you mentioned, the things that has caused harm, is clearly not the proper representation of who Christ or is. And Christ doesn't force anyone to serve him. So that's just to let you know or to believe in him. That's never been something that was supposed to be that you have to. Anybody who is being told with the Bible anything that Jesus says is different is not representing him, and that's what's bad. Because if anything, you should have felt safer, or these women should feel safer, knowing that, you know, that's what we're supposed to be standing for, that's the safety and away from what you're going through out there. So that's something that I want to thank you, Mama Belle, for being, because you do just stand there and just shine, and you do just provide a place and just shine, and that's awesome for me too.
And that's what God wants us to do. He don't want us to sit and try to make nobody believe what they believe. That's not for us to do.
No.
All he wants us to do is to show his love, show his patience, be kind, and help one another.
Absolutely.
He's gonna draw them. You know? So you don't have to wonder, sweetheart, about God. Because even if you don't believe, if you believe in doing what is right in your heart, that's God in you, prompting that righteousness in you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You don't realize that, but God is all righteous. Love. God is all love.
I love it. Thank you for letting me come on. I really just, and you know, I'm not busting your chops. I really just wanted to come because I know that I've been in 10 foster homes, right? And I've met a lot of different foster youth who really do want the help and the love and the support, and they just feel like there's so many organizations out there that do foster care work who come from a religious perspective. And unfortunately, even though, like, they don't know how to separate their personal love and belief for him from doing the good work. They feel like the only way to do good work is to spread the gospel, which is okay. But they do so in a way that's very judgmental and very much like, you know, if you don't follow this, then you're wrong. And what ends up happening is there's a lot of people in the queer community, in the gay community, in the whatever community that is ostracized because of that. So, you know, I really just in listening to you, hearing your genuineness, I wanted to say thank you for being somebody who is open. And I really just wanted all of the listeners to hear that there are people out here that's willing to do this good work with their beliefs, but still know how to do the work without imposing it on others. And I appreciate
you
for your
honesty. Exactly. And I'm going to tell you, in this serenity, in this facility, you're going to have your choice on what you believe in and what you want to do. We're not going to make you do anything that you feel like you don't want to do. But I believe that when these women come into the Serenity Center, the love of God is going to fall upon them, and it's going to give them a different approach of who he is. And I just believe that.
Because, thank you.
Like I said, God is just like a little spark. If you make a little spark and you stick something, a piece of paper to it, that spark is going to grab that paper and burn it.
I hear that.
And so that's how God is. We don't have to tell them nothing. We don't have to say nothing. All we got to do is just show the love of God and let them know that they are loved. God is no respecter of person. He don't have no certain person that he loves more than the next person. It doesn't matter what your sin is, because sin is sin, baby. And we all sin. We all fall short. I tell the girls, there's a lot of girls at the prison that's gay. It ain't for me to judge you because of who you are.
Absolutely.
My job is to love you and to tell you what is right and what is not right. That's it. And the way I tell you, I have to tell you in love, with compassion.
When that happens,
God is going to draw. God is going to draw.
I'm right about that. Thank you, Ms. Bell. Thank you, Ma.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
Ms. Mel, that's my little warrior there, and I'm proud of her.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah.
God is going to use her mighty.
Yeah, he's doing so currently. She makes me proud. I will say, with you as well, Ms. Bell, you're a rarity. I have a friend of mine that tells me to stop calling this show little. But when I say little, I'm thinking about the fact that I'm not, Oprah Winfrey or, The View or The Real or whatever. But I've never been a chaser of grandiose things, like things that shine and it's not really gold. My thing is that I've been doing this since 2013 because of what our family went through, how we weren't on the more desirable side of the financial line. We weren't on the desirable side of the color line. We didn't live in the right zip code. And because of the things we were going through and because of those factors, we got sort of kicked around a lot from the government, the community, the police system, or anything to that effect. My child was one of the things that got kicked. And what I will say is that to know that there's people in that world like you have seen all types. There's obviously women have committed all sorts of something to be in a facility to that effect. So for you to sit there and say, I don't see the offense, I see the person, I don't see the issue, I see what could be. That is something that can't be stomped out. This little show started off, let me just say, I started off with just in the beginning, it was like the first day, my little pilot was like 13 people. I knew nothing about broadcasting or segments. I had staticky mics. I had everything. But I was, every day I walked in, I brought something that we went through and made it a universal topic. Then I spoke about it from not what you see in the tabloids, but I spoke about it from the newspaper, but from an angle nobody wants to talk about. People started to tell me that it meant something to them. That's what gives me my reward. And if that's what God wants me to do with it, that's what I will do. I don't have much, but I have a platform. That's like I said to you.
Right.
If this is a piece that I could add to keep your train moving, great. I went from 18 people to staticky stuff to now there's 30,384 people or so, not counting tonight.
Wow.
That's
a blessing.
Right. And for me, that's that big little pond that means something. To me, I don't care if it's a million people. If only 30,000 people are getting something from it and they're coming back and they're feeling that this is worth some place to be, then God is using me the way I need to be, and whatever mistakes I make in the process, I will get. But trust me, I have fallen and been sick, and I'll come back and people will be like, you're back. You were gone for like 3 years. You were gone for a year. What's going on? I have a family across the world that has never met me a day in their life except for a few, and they care about everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I had one person tell me, and that's why I'm going to say to you, one person said to me, Katie, you can't go down because your show started off from your pain. And because of your pain, we got to share our pain. And this is what happened. So now you're down. Why don't you let us lift you up? That means a lot to me. You understand?
Yes.
So with that, I want to pay it forward. And I'm paying it forward to someone like you, because you know what? That's the biggest payment to me in the world. I can take a little podcast like this, and it could reach people who might be in your area, who might have a daughter that's in the system that you're running or in this.
Right.
That may need that. My child just came through onto the panel. Lord knows I wouldn't have known that that's how she was listening, hearing, or got inspired. But you see, you did it for me, Miss Bell. So I know that you have people calling in. This is something you have to get up. So I'm asking you to please tell me everything you need. And whatever I could do in passing, who knows what could connect. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're on the live stream and you want to speak to this amazing woman, you have to call me at 347-327-9967. You have to press 1 or I don't know you want to speak. And if you are going to call me and your live stream is running, whatever device you're listening to, you're going to have to turn down if you want to speak, because it will reverberate and the world is going to hear two things. I have to go give my sponsor another little shout. Hang with me. We got just a little half quarter left to go on the show. I want to thank all. Oh, wow. Wait a minute. I got a little comment coming in. Hold on a second. Oh, there's somebody that's in Jackson. Roberta, that's saying that you are definitely what she agrees with me. You are an absolute angel on earth. So I wanted to let you know,
she said that
you are giving these women a vital piece of life that they obviously was taken away
praise
when they became
the Lord Jesus.
Yes,
thank
when
you,
they
Lord.
Became a number in the system. So I'm telling you, I my sentiments exactly, Jacqueline. And thank you for that. So I want to go out to the sponsors. I'll be back so we can finish up. If there's any new things you need to add, Miss Bell, we're right here, okay?
Okay.
Two minutes, everyone. Be right back. Don't go away.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show. We're in the last final concluding moments of the show, and I want to bring in our guests a little bit, and I have a little bit of information to give out and some help needed here personally and here on the show. And I want to bring back our wonderful guest. So, Mama Belle, once again, for those who are just joining us, because a lot of people do come in sometimes on the last end, I would like to reiterate that this is the amazing woman. If those of you have been following the news story, she was a woman that just by her personality she gives, but she also provided service to a transitional women's center. Is it in Louisiana, Mama?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Tallulah, Louisiana.
Right. That's what I saw, Tallulah. I was like, where are all these little towns coming from? So, yeah. So, Louisiana was a Louisiana transitional women's center. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. She served as a beautiful, you know, encouraging correctional officer in this facility where even her inmates pretty much floated to her personality and decided to help a pregnant inmate who only had 2 months left in her sentence, gave birth before her sentence was up, and needed a place for her baby to go. This woman, this saint, took this baby in at the risk of being told that her job was going to be done. Now she's in the process of building a transitional house. Is that the right term for it?
Sober living.
Okay, see, that's why I say I wanted you to be the one to say it. I don't want to mess it up. So she is doing sober living to give everybody coming out a chance to have a fresh start. Recidivism in women prisoners is way too high. Most of the time, it's the mom that children are dependent on, and when they are out of the picture for things like this, it really affects the family on a huge level. Not saying that fathers are not important. It's just that normally moms are the ones that's most there. And when a woman goes down, it seems like everything goes down with it. And for you to let these women know, and a lot of women go in once they got caught for big things, feeling already a mess or failure to themselves. And that I've heard and seen. And no matter what they claim to be given when they come out, it takes a person like you to actually make them hear it truthfully. And that is something. I've always had the experience of living on the extreme other side. Okay. It's always been something. Like I always said, you know, we're that mother that, you know, we can make rock soup with rock and a boil of water, boiling water. And pretty much that's because, listen, finances never been ideal for me. Having the best of places and things to do never been ideal, but I've always tried my best to bring in, you know, whatever it is that we could do with what we had.
Right.
In a world of being in a female incarcerated person, that gets taken away because, like, women are supposed to be super cape people, and when we fail or we fall, we lose it in ourselves. And so somebody like you telling them, what are you talking about? You're still perfect. This is a mistake. It's not the definition. That's something that's needed. And for you to want to continue it at some personal sacrifice of your own, which is beautiful, people will flock to you as needed to help this mission go forward. So I wanted to say that. So any final words from you, any final information before I close out the show, for you to be able to give that maybe you needed to add on? How would people be able to contact you if they wanted to? Do you have like a number outside of your personal number that they can reach you at and leave some?
No, not yet. I won't get my information would be after we get through with the housing unit and everything, and everything will be placed up on the website. I'm in the process now of getting the website put up, and everything would be on the website.
Okay, so for those in the meantime, if anyone that's listening to the show is like, you know, burning desire to speak to you before all that's set up, maybe to help you volunteer, let me put I'll take for you through our show's email and forward anything that you may need to know until you get set up. So, ladies and gentlemen, is there anything that you would like offer her or to help her with or encourage her with, you can send your emails, your requests, your offers or whatever to ontheedgeshow@outlook.com. In the subject, please put Miss Roberta Bell or Miss Bell. Either way, I'll know that it's coming for her, and I will forward it to you and let you know. And Miss Bell, tomorrow, I know it's late now, you have to get to work and stuff like that in the morning, but tomorrow after work, okay, I have a couple of things that might be able to help, you know, to set up if you want to be able to get some communication from people beforehand that you may be able to utilize. And the name of your sober living house would be what?
The Serenity Sisters.
Say that again.
It's Serenity Centers.
Oh, Serenity Center. Awesome.
Yeah, it's just Serenity Centers.
That is awesome.
Now, I do have my email, which is robale6565@gmail.com. That's my email. So if you you want to, you know, give me a message, you can email me, and I'll be, you know, I can relate to you from my email.
Oh, that's awesome. That's amazing. I can't wait to see where this is going to go for you. I honestly can't wait. I think that you are absolutely amazing. There's nothing in this world I could say right now. And I know a lot of people are going, all right, Katie, you said that already. Yes, I'm saying it again. It's just really hard. Like, you know, when you meet someone or you deal with something that's like so amazing and so grand, it's like hard to put in words. And that's it. There was just something about you on the screen with the reporter. There was just something about your story, meeting you. And, you know, I think a lot of you out there can understand. You know how, like, you see a celebrity and you fall for the celebrity and you go, you know what? I can't wait to meet them. And then you go to a concert of theirs and then you meet them and they're nothing like you imagined they would be. They turn out to be a jerk.
Exactly.
Do you know how rare it is for you to see something so magnanimous on a screen and then you meet the source of that grandiosity, and then you meet them and they're everything and more when you get there? That was you. And there was a couple of other people on this panel. There was a hero before you, and I think you were listening in on his story, the one whose son got
right.
He's another one. Just there are just very few people who live up to their image. And that's because, you know, they're not really trying to have one in the first place. That's what makes it so much better. That's what makes it so much more beautiful. So I appreciate you with that. So if there's nothing more, I'm going to have to close out the show. I want to thank you a million and 13 times for being here. You absolutely have an official podcast platform to do anything you need to do when Serenity Fence is up. Okay? Very welcome.
And I really appreciate the invitation, and I have enjoyed talking and listening to your broadcast, and may God continue to bless it. And I pray that you will get more viewers to listen. And God bless and God keep you, sister. You're doing a wonderful job. You're doing a beautiful job.
I'm trying, Mama Belle, and that just means so much. Thank you for honoring my panel today, my listeners. I have such a full telephone panel right now. You are not going to believe it. I don't even know what the live stream numbers are. But just to let you know, we got stats that this podcast is heard in Croatia, Australia, Canada. Just the other day, I found Greece. So just to let you know, this is where people are, the UK. So it was amazing. Yeah, I forgot that the World Wide Web means just that, the world. So when I was like, what do you mean Croatia? So it's like, now I have this. But just to let you know, this is how God has blessed me, using trauma and pain and things that we went through.
Yeah.
And look, you know, so thank you, Mama, for being a community mom.
Thank you. And you know, thank you. I love you. And
love
may God
too.
Keep you and bless and bless and bless.
Thank you so much. I sent some information that I spoke to you about earlier to your messenger, okay? And I will pick up with you tomorrow, because I have some great things that I think might help, you know. So thank you, Mama Belle. Good night.
All right. Go do the great things you do.
Okay.
Okay. You have a blessed night.
You too, my love. To my beautiful daughter, Melanie, thank you for showing up. And so I'll disconnect you from here, sweetheart. Okay, so listeners, now this is something that I have to speak with all of you about. All of you have been reaching out to me since my family has had this car accident. So now I have to take your advice, Lily Mae, and I have to kind of swallow some pride here, because my family has, we deal with a lot of issues from this particular accident. So right now we've gotten behind in some critical areas because of this thing. And as you guys all know, I'm disabled. So hard for me to get around without transportation. With our car being down, with this man being investigated, with a whole bunch of things going on with him, we are at this point where I have created a GoFundMe page. I am asking my listeners, which I will be posting this fundraiser on the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and Friends Facebook page, on our new Instagram page, which is Real On The Edge Show on Instagram. Anyone who can share, can help to donate, no matter how small or how large, it's be widely and wonderfully cherished and appreciated, because we need to get a vehicle up there for myself to get around, so I can get to my community projects with all of you, so I can reach out and network with everyone so that I can get around, period. And we're asking to get a certain goal of up to $4,500. So if everybody can help us reach that goal, it'll be something that I appreciate. The pride has to be swallowed at this point, and that's where we're at. So head over. It's going to be a GoFundMe page posting. If anyone who can help, please make sure that you put your name in, because we are going to be saying thank you personally. As we get moving up, there's a copy. Those couple of you asked about a copy of my thriller. That's going to be something that I send to certain people, you know, and thank yous signed. There's other things that's going to be going down with donations as well. So each and every one of these things that's going on, you know, everybody will have a trade-off. And I appreciate in advance any efforts and help that would be made. So with that being said, everybody, I want you to get outside, go be blessed, be a blessing. Look out on our pages for the updates on Mama Belle's community projects that's coming up. You guys, just be patient, because On The Edge Show is doing so many new things coming up. We're going to be reformatting the website. We're getting new things up. You guys are going to be able to post some of your businesses up there. We're going to have some interactive links. We're going to be offering some sponsorship packages. We've already got that straight. There's going to be some internships coming up. I want all of you to understand we are dead serious about trying to empower our youth, trying to rejuvenate our economy, our people, our culture. And we want things like this, like Mama Bell's projects, to be something that's implemented and strong and reliable and sturdy. So people that make a mistake has a way to come back from it and rebuild their lives the real way, not the way that these data's coming from politicians who never step foot into your neighborhood unless they need a vote do. So with that being said, everybody, tonight I want to thank you all for your continued support, for your constant messages, for your help. Thank you for that. Look out for the link to our GoFundMe page. You will see that. It will be on several different places as well as on the Edge official page, and I appreciate you. So with that being said, everybody, good night. Be blessed. Be a blessing. I will see you here Wednesday, 10 p.m. Don't do anything but be the best that you could be. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.